الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا. وقال تعالى ولقد خلقنا الإنسان من سلالة من طين. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected mothers and sisters in Islam, the subject that we have at hand is a very sensitive but yet most important subject. Therefore, from the very outset, I would like to make an appeal that due to its sensitivity, we humbly request that if there is anything that someone does not understand or needs clarification, please ask the question thereafter, phone me or ask the question via someone, so that we get a proper picture in an Islamic perspective and any wrong notion or any wrong opinion does not get carried around. After that, let us understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored human beings with life. And that life is perhaps, in fact it is, the greatest ni'mat that Allah ta'ala has granted human beings. Allah ta'ala says, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has there not come upon human being such a time when he was nothing? He was not in existence and Allah ta'ala brought him into existence. The Quran further informs us that Allah ta'ala has then appointed humankind as Allah's representative on earth, his Khalifa. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah Ta'ala says, remember the time when Allah Ta'ala told the Malaika that I am going to create my representative on this earth. So Allah, man is Allah Ta'ala, in fact humankind is Allah's representative on this earth. Therefore, he is under obligation from Allah to respect, honor, uphold, value, and appreciate all forms of life. Be it human life, be it animal life, be it plant life. Allah Ta'ala has commanded us that we must respect life, be any kind of life. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, provided them with transport on land and sea, and given for them sustenance, things which are good and pure, and conferred upon them special favors above a greater part of Allah Ta'ala's creation. History further bears testimony to the fact that when the value of life becomes insignificant, then it is accompanied by a host of other evils. Murder becomes rampant in society when life becomes insignificant. Otherwise, the sanctity of life is such, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, كَتَبْنَا عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتْلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِعًا. Whoever kills one person, it is as if he has murdered and killed the entire humanity. So when murder becomes rampant, when life becomes insignificant, crime becomes a daily occurrence, and it is due to life today becoming insignificant that we find calls made for the legalizing of abortion. So when we lose respect for life, in one stage of development, there are various stages of development in a person's life, when we lose respect for even the first stage of development, then we progressively lose respect for life in other stages of development. When we lose respect for life when it is in the womb of the mother, then definitely and progressively we are going to lose respect for life even when the child is out of the womb of the mother. Therefore this topic is something which has become a very much debated subject, that of abortion. Let us first define abortion before making mention of the Islamic perspective, and then we will come to birth control. Abortion is defined as the artificial and premature expulsion of the fetus from the womb of the mother. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi in his Ihya ul-Ulum, and it is a must, and it is wrong to think that this has only come up now. This subject has been debated by the ulama many years ago. Imam Ghazali is a scholar who was born 800 years after Hijrah, so almost 700 years prior to what we are in today's time. He has written in his Ihya ul-Ulum that abortion is not like contraception or birth control. For contraception prevents life from the very beginning. And this, if there are valid reasons, as I will explain, might be permissible. But abortion is a crime against an existing thing, against an existing being. Contraception stops life from the very inception, from the very beginning. Whereas abortion is a crime against something which is in existence. And existence has various stages. Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنْسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُدْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. We created man from clay. Then afterwards we placed him as a drop of sperm in a fixed place of rest, the womb of the mother. Then we made that into a clot of congealed blood. Then from that clot we made a fetus, a lump. And in that lump we brought about bones, fakasawnal izama. And over that bone we brought about flesh and meat. And then out of that we developed another creation, a creature. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. So blessed be Allah, the best of creators. Therefore, writes Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, the first stage of existence is the settling of the semen in the womb and its mixing with the secretion of the woman. Disturbing this progress, this process, in its very inception, from the very inception, is a crime and a gunah. Because you are now in the very existence, the very first stage of existence, you are disturbing that. Thereafter, disturbing the process when it develops further into congealed blood or a lump of flesh, then the gunah is even greater. And when its creation is completed and the soul comes into that body, then the gunah is most grievous, tantamount to murdering someone. Therefore the ulama have written and are unanimous that abortion is not permissible in Islam. It is haram. Immediately the question might arise in the minds of many, but what happens if a woman has been raped, waliyadu billah, or the mother or the child's life is in danger? Now we must remember that these are exceptions. And there is accommodation for exceptions and emergencies in the Sharia. But exceptions are not the normal rule. The mistake many a times we make is to regard the exceptions as the rule. For example, ask even a small Muslim boy, what does Islam say about liquor? And he will say, liquor is haram. Without hesitation he will say. No one when asked about dhikr will say it is permissible when you are dying of thirst. No one says that. We say it is haram. Yes, if a person is dying of thirst, that exception is only applicable at that extreme stage when he is dying of thirst. Similarly, we will say abortion is haram, and if there are any exceptions, or if there are any extreme emergencies, it will only be applicable to that extreme stage and not be made a normal rule. In fact, not only is abortion haram, but it is, according to many, tantamount or coming close to murder. For it may not be the murder of an already born child, but it definitely is the murder of life. Medical experts and doctors today are convinced that life exists in the fetus and even in the embryo. In fact, recent medical research has proven that after 3 weeks of conception, primitive and initial heartbeat of the child begins 3 weeks after conception. So why it might not be the removal of an already born child, but it is definitely the removal and the murder of life. There, and another, according to a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, we learn that the soul enters the fetus after 120 days. The fuqaha and the ulama therefore say that if due to some valid reason, the mother's life is in danger, the health of the mother, etc., abortion will only be valid before the 120th day of conception, before the soul sets into the fetus and into the unborn child. After that, it will not be permissible in any circumstances. Now, how ironic when we talk today of abortion, for we very often hear and read of the many evils that envelop the world and the pagan Arabs during the time of Jahiliyyah and ignorance. There were many evils they committed, many evils they did, drinking and many other evils. But one thing that has always stood out among those evils, which even today makes our hair stand on its end, when we hear how they used to bury their daughters alive, and we wonder in amazement and bewilderment, how could they ever stoop to such depths of ignorance and evil? They used to bury their daughters alive. But alas, today, we find the fancy slogan, humanity in the West in particular, and those who follow them, are slowly sliding back towards the days of animalistic ignorance. And slogans are raised like pro-choice. The mother has the right over her own body. She has the right to make her own choice. Little realizing that it is not her body that she is harming, but the body of another human being through the means of abortion. So understand this very properly, that abortion is haram, unless of course in extreme certain circumstances, but those are the exceptions, not the rule. And furthermore, even if there are exceptions, it must be done within, before 120 days, before the ruh sets into the fetus. Now we come to the question of birth control. Let us first understand that one of the primary objectives of nikah, and here again I will make an appeal, that do not come to any conclusion until everything has been finalized. Don't just listen to one portion and reach any conclusion. That one of the primary objectives of nikah is preservation of the humankind. One of the reasons Allah Ta'ala has made nikah permissible is the preservation of the human race. For it is only through nikah that the proper preservation of the human race will take place. I've used the word proper, for if it is outside nikah, and that is not the right environment for the bringing up of a child. So the proper preservation of the humankind is through nikah. And this requires reproduction and procreation. Accordingly, Islam has encouraged having children. And Islam has taught that not to regard our children as a burden, but to regard them as a joy and a great responsibility. In fact, in the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith, that children are the flowers of Allah Azza wa Jal. What a beautiful description. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَلُودُ الْوَدُودُ فَإِنِّي مُكَافِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the man and said, get married to women who are loving in nature and who bear children, for I will take pride in the number of my ummatis on the day of Qiyamah. I will take pride that there are so much of my ummatis. Now, after understanding this, let us go further. There are two ways and methods of birth control. One is that it is done on a national scale, done on a country-wide scale, implemented as a government program, done on an organized basis, as an instrument of state economic policy. Understand, one is that it is done on an economic, on a very large scale, organized scale, not done individually. For individually, there is a different command for it. What we are talking about is done on an organized basis as an instrument of state and economic policy. This, if it is done in an organized scale, is not permissible in Islam. Especially nowadays, when the West have very sinister motives behind organized programs of birth and family control, which have been highlighted in the various United Nations conferences held in Cairo, Stockholm, etc. And among those, the ulama have gone through those documents, Muslim intellectuals have gone through those documents and have studied it and have seen the sinister motives behind this type of organized birth and family control. Among those harms which the ulama and the intellectuals have seen is, firstly, through these organized birth control and family control measures is to subvert the Muslim families. For they all know that one of the criterion and bastions of Muslim strength and iman has been the Muslim family. For without the family, we will always find that there is going to be a decline in moral values and a decline in Islam. So family life plays a very important role in this. And they are envious of this role that the family plays in the Muslim life. Now they wish to contaminate it with promiscuity, immorality. The natural maternal feeling of a woman, that feeling of a woman, which is natural that she wants to be a mother, and ask those who cannot bear children how they feel that natural instinct. Allah Ta'ala save us and Allah Ta'ala save all women. They want to drain it and remove it and substitute it with love and preoccupation of the self and selfishness. They want to create women amongst the Muslim world who will be resentful and will dislike motherhood, regard it as a burden, the way motherhood today is regarded as a burden in the West. Therefore we find so many child abuse cases in the West, because they regard children as an unnecessary interference and a burden in their life. The United Nations document reads, and I will quote it, greater investment should be made to lessen the daily burden of domestic responsibility, the greater share of which fell on the woman. Imam Taqi Usmani Madzillu Al-Ali has made this very amazing comment. He says that today the Western world is quite amazing in its logic. That when a woman They have to remain at home and serve her husband, her children and her family. They say she is retrogressive, she is backward. But if the same woman has to go out in the open field and become an air hostess, become a secretary, and she serves the very same food that she will serve her husband, she serves it to someone else, her bosses, business partners, then she is regarded as very progressive. So the same thing if she does to the family, she is backward, and the same thing she does for strangers, it is regarded as a sign of progress. Nevertheless, this is one of the reasons, a sinister motive behind it, to subvert the Muslim family. The second reason where they talk about birth and family control is to encourage illegitimate and free sexual relationship, especially among our youth. You see the fear of pregnancy and the embarrassment that it will cause is amongst the deterrents against immorality and adultery. Although, I must add, Muslims are supposed to stay away from immorality not because of that, not because of the embarrassment, but because Allah has prohibited it, and due to Allah Ta'ala's prohibition and out of the fear of Allah. But this is also a fact. One of the deterrents against it is the embarrassment that it might cause. If some, especially the immature in intelligence, the youth, could avoid that fear and deterrence, it could, for some, be an open license to promiscuity and immorality. Now the solution to this is not to go towards abortion and take the life of an innocent one due to our folly and shortcomings. But the solution to this problem is to preserve and guard one's chastity and modesty, or channel it in the correct direction, the correct direction being through the means of nikah. I would read to you again what the United Nations document reads to show you what they mean when they talk of organized family and birth control. It reads, countries should remove legal, regulatory and social barriers to sexual and reproductive health information, especially for the youth. It means make it freely available for them. All sexual information, reproductive and all these birth control mechanisms, make it freely available for them. We can see in what direction they want to push the youth, especially the youth of the Muslims. Right. One of the motives, this is the second motive I made mention, encouraging illegitimate sexual relationship. One of the motives behind this has been to establish, the third one, which I'm making mention of, is to establish the wrongful notion that population is a source of economic problem, that poverty comes because there's a lot of people. Firstly, scientifically, this is also wrong. They have been telling the world, the United Nations and the scientists, that if unchecked, the world population will go up to 11 and 14 billion in a very short time, and will raise the population density of countries to such a level that this earth will not be able to support, will not have enough resources to support the amount of people in this world. Firstly, these predictions are mere assumptions, for only Allah Ta'ala knows the truth, and only Allah Ta'ala knows what the future will hold. But even if there are 14 billion people, as they predict, according to the Muslim intellectuals who have studied it, it will average out to 269 persons per square mile. Comparatively, Hong Kong has 14,483 persons per square mile. Netherlands, 1,140 persons per square mile. Japan, 843 persons per square mile. And none of these countries in the economic world are regarded as poor. So it is a myth that population will bring about poverty. The problem lies somewhere else, in greed. It lies in not proper development, etc., in other things, not having proper belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then another thing, they spend so much money on this organized birth and family control. And $34 billion will be spent by the Western world on the claim to have organized birth and family control by the year 2000. $34 billion. It is more than the income of many, many countries. To give you another example, the Impact International magazine has quoted one pediatrician in Kenya. When she spoke of the hospital where she has worked for 10 years, it is supposed to provide free medical care for the under 5, for the children, but simply has no money. So the parents, no matter how poor, they will have to find that money. But she goes on to say that just nearby her hospital stands a family planning clinic which has been developed and put up by the United Nations. They never ever run short of any contraceptive device or drug and make it freely available to the man and the woman and the youth. So we can find from this that scientifically it is a myth. It is wrong that the population will outgrow the resources of the world. Even scientifically, never mind belief in Allah Ta'ala, which I will come to. Then they make mention of the environment. The environment will be harmed if there is so much population. But this is also a myth and wrong. So there is a huge difference between the environmental impact of the rich and the poor countries. See? It is not the population. It is the way you use the resources and use the environment that will create the pollution, etc. The United Nations agree. Every child born into the industrialized world, the so-called developed world, consumes 20 to 30 times more of the world's resources than a child which will be born in a developing world, the poorer countries. It has been similarly noted, just listen to this very carefully, that 55 million people born into the industrialized nations will pollute the world more than the 895 million born in the poorer countries. So it is not the population which will cause environmental harm and damage, but it will be the greed and the misuse and the abuse of the environment that will create pollution and other problems. And then most importantly, this theory, scientifically I have discounted the theory with regard to resources outgrowing population and the environmental harm. But most importantly, this theory is a challenge to the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, who is not only the creator, but the provider and sustainer of the universe. Says Allah in the Holy Quran, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is not a living being in this earth, but the sustenance of that living being is the responsibility of Allah Azza wa Jalla. In the 14th Sutara, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Listen to the translation of this beautiful ayah. There is not a thing in this world but its sources and its treasures, which are inexhaustible, out of Allah. But Allah Ta'ala sends down these treasures in due measure and as per His wisdom. In this ayat, Allah has mentioned that He has not created human beings without thought and planning, and not without arranging for their sustenance. It is not possible that Allah Ta'ala does not know about the population increase and with regard to the resources of this world. But the Almighty, as for this ayat, has definitely created human beings and has definitely created the means for their survival and existence. Allah Ta'ala's system has been, when a thing becomes more in need, Allah increases the supply of that. When it becomes redundant, Allah Ta'ala decreases the same. Let me give you one small, quick example. In the previous time, all means of transport were done through the means of horses. Now, we don't use horses for transport, by and large. It would have been more horses in the world today than previously, Before, they are not so much in utilization today the way they were when people use them for transport. But we won't find that in the world today. Look at the census. Horses today are only found in places where they are very carefully bred. Otherwise, we won't find more horses today than the way they were in the past. Why? For when it was needed, Allah Ta'ala created more. When it is not needed, Allah Ta'ala creates less. It's the system of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So birth and family control, to conclude this portion, as an instrument of state or economic or social policy, especially in today's time, Islamically is not acceptable, not permissible. However, on an individual basis, for valid individual reasons, the Sharia allows temporary contraception, not permanent. For ordinarily, permanent means of contraception are like sterilization, etc., where the apparent capacity to give birth is removed, is not allowed unless in emergency and dire situations. So again, to repeat, on an individual basis, for valid individual reasons, the Sharia allows temporary contraception, not permanent, unless in dire and emergency situations. Now, the question that arises in many people is, what is a valid and what is an unvalid reason for temporary contraception? Among the unvalid reasons the ulama have mentioned is, it is not permissible to practice this with the view that I will not be able to cater for my family, I will not be able to feed them or look after them financially. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاكُ. Don't kill your children out of fear for poverty. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. Never mind your children. You don't have the means to feed yourself. That also Allah Ta'ala does. If you don't have the means to feed and look after yourself and sustain yourself, what power do you have to feed and sustain your children? So therefore, this view to limit family because of financial implications, it is not acceptable in Sharia. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi, one of the very great Buzurgan and very great saintly people, he one day made this very amazing remark. If Allah Ta'ala were to change the sky into copper, what is meant by copper is that there will be no rain from the sky. It will be copper, there will be no rain from the sky. If Allah Ta'ala were to change the ground into lead, with no chance of any grass and vegetation and fruit growing from the earth. In that situation, if Sufyan has to ask and say, oh Allah, where are you going to feed me from? And I have committed kufr, says Sufyan al-Thawri. Because Allah Ta'ala provides. If you can't provide for your own self, Allah Ta'ala provides. Who are we to say that we are going to provide for our children? It's Allah Ta'ala who provides. So this is an unvalid reason to practice birth and family control. Valid reasons. What is valid reasons? Here again, we must say, the individual is best equipped to determine for himself his condition. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked and told one, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, the greatest mufti is your heart and your conscience. See? You have to ask, and your conscience must be clear that the reason is valid. The mufti can only answer you according to the question you put to him. The greatest mufti is your heart, your conscience. Only you know best between you and Allah Ta'ala what is the valid reason. But amongst the valid reasons, to give you one or two examples the ulama have given is, for health reasons, for example, where a properly qualified Muslim doctor certifies that the woman will not be able to bear the rigors of pregnancy, it will be detrimental to health. That might be amongst the valid reasons. The ulama have also made mention spacing of children so that you'll be able to give sufficient time for the upbringing of the existing child. You want sufficient time to give proper upbringing to the existing child, therefore you would like a grace among the children. That also the ulama have regarded as a valid reason. But as I say, we can only surmise and we can only give examples. What really is a valid reason will lie upon the individual and upon his conscience. I have just given these few points with regard to abortion and birth control. I do not know if we have time, or maybe we could take one or two questions if anyone would like to ask. Maybe they could write it down or make mention of it to someone who could maybe bring those questions forward. Inshallah, next week at the same time, at the same place, inshallah.